Encore guest for this segment is the CEO of the National Alliance for Mental Illness here in San Diego, and Shannon Jacquard. Welcome back. You had a profound story that got you interested in this. Maybe tell us a little bit about your history, though. Are you from San Diego, too, or no?
Most of my life, so since I was 11 years old.
Gotcha. Where were you born?
Fairly native. San Francisco.
Oh, nice.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Me
gotcha.
Too.
Gotcha.
Me and my brother.
Good. And so your education was down here mostly?
Yeah. Went to UCSD.
Okay.
And then got my master's at San Marcos State.
Okay. In what? And got your degree in what, though?
My undergrad is in political science.
Okay.
So I actually did think about becoming an attorney.
Uh-huh.
And then switched gears and got my MBA.
At Cal State San Marcos, right?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
And then that's where my life changed.
Tell us about that.
So when I was getting my MBA, that's when my brother, who was 4 years younger than myself, started exhibiting symptoms that we as a family thought were drug and alcohol related.
How old was he?
He at the time was probably 18, 19.
Okay.
And a lot of families in the U.S. kind of have some understanding of drug and alcohol, so you kind of go there when you know it's not something else. But you completely dismiss mental illness for a variety of reasons. One is complete lack of education, and two is stigma, shame, guilt, all those other attributes that come with mental illness. And so he was sent to drug and alcohol treatment. And that's when they called us and said, no, this isn't drug and alcohol. There could be components of that. And a lot of times there are dual diagnosis between drug and alcohol and mental illness. But he was definitely needing to have more care for his mental health than the drug and alcohol.
So diagnosed what, schizophrenic or?
He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. However, I think that actually his more troubling symptom, and I really encourage more dealing with the symptoms that are bothering you and leave aside the diagnosis. The diagnosis is needed maybe for certain treatments or for billing purposes and all that other good stuff. But really, it's the symptoms that you need to work on and seek out the treatment and improve on for. And he really was dealing more with anxiety.
Was there anything, well, I guess maybe it was just anything that triggered it, a breakup with a girlfriend, or was there any substance involved? And by the way, growing up, is there anything that you noticed that he might have been different from time to time that you saw?
Yeah, you know, when you look back, you can always see a lot more things that you've missed during those periods. And we had moved from San Francisco to San Diego. Mm-hmm. I think that it was a little difficult for him.
Adjusting
to the new place. When you would talk to him about when his symptoms really started showing, he said he was 15. That's when he started feeling different from his peers.
Mm-hmm.
There's little physical attributes that were different, like his growth. Even though he ended up 6 feet tall as an adult during high school, he was very short.
Mm-hmm.
And that also can have a difference on kids, their mental state.
I tell you, adolescence is a challenging time, and not everyone, you know, it's a big, we're older now, and we forget, but that adjustment period, you know, how to fit in with your peers and this and that, and,
So did he have a hard time being in public because of anxiety?
No. So he was actually loved being around people. He was voted class clown. He was a skateboarder. He was extremely active, loved kids. And he was like a little kid magnet. They loved to play with him. So no, he didn't have that. And schizophrenia generally has that where you're not really comfortable being around people in public and stuff, but he thrived on friendships. However, when he was diagnosed with this label schizophrenia, he lost all of his friends, and it seemed like overnight, basically. He was 19, the diagnosis. I don't think it was the behavior. I think it was the word of that particular illness lost his friends. So I actually started a program to provide people who have a mental health challenges with friendship, because even as an adult, it's hard to make friends, period.
I heard a TED talk on this, and the guy said addiction, it really is social connections that, if you lose those, you can get into a lot of trouble.
So. Yeah, we're definitely very much social beings.
Yeah.
And we need to be around other people as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, so tell us what happened to your brother, because it's kind of a sad story.
So normally I have a lot of my staff do the more uplifting talks of recovery and just know that recovery really is possible, and treatment helps, and 90% people see symptoms reduction. But for my brother, he ended up in a situation where he was in a hospital for a really too long period of time, and they ended up restraining him in a 5-point prone restraint, and at 25 he had a heart attack and passed away.
And of course they were giving him a lot of medication,
a lot of medication.
And had him face down and everything, so but anyway, so that triggered you to dive into this mental illness
It was way before that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I started this work 5 years before he passed away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then National Alliance for Mental Illness, when did you get involved with them?
Then. So about 2003 is when I started working with the National Alliance for Mental Illness, NAMI San Diego.
And it started very small, right? And I know Judge Coates played a big role, I guess, in helping them get established as far as office space and helping them that way. Right, Bob?
That's true. Yeah. There were two women who founded NAMI, and they came to me when I was president of the Mental Health Association, and they said they needed an office, a place to make telephone calls and make copies. And they were forming an advocacy group.
Yeah.
And it was clear to me that the Mental Health Association was not doing the right job in advocacy. They were not vigorous enough. And so, of course, I let these ladies do it. And I'll be darned if they didn't found what is now this huge, very powerful national advocacy group, NAMI.
Shannon, tell us how big it's grown from when.
When was it founded, by the way?
1974.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then she got involved in 2003. And tell us how many were in staff when you started and how many now, because it's really
so impressive. We had 16 staff when I took over as the CEO, and now 6.5 years later, we're up to 55, and we're hiring actually as I speak. We're growing some more.
And serving thousands, I guess.
Oh, thousands, yeah. We have millions that come to our website every month.
Anyway, we're going to come out of our break right now. We'll come back with Shannon Jacquard, CEO of NAMI San Diego, right after this. Hang on. All right. Speaking of psychology, the Bob Newhart
show.
I used to like that show. Probably not much like that in real life. But anyway, back with Shannon.
He was an accountant in real life before he became a comedian.
But I mean, he played a psychologist
on that show.
Right. Anyway, we're back with Shannon Jacquard, CEO of National Alliance for Mental Illness here in San Diego. And Shannon, tell us, you have a new app that you're about to release, right?
Yeah, so we're very excited that we received a contract with County of San Diego, and we call it Tech Cafe. Cafe stands for Consumer and Family Empowerment, and we run a bunch of different programs around using technology, understanding how to use laptop, back-to-work programs sort of things. And in this contract, we developed what we're calling OSCAR. It's an organized support companion in emergency situations app. It'll be released this month, actually, and it's really geared towards those moments when you or your family member end up in an emergency department or emergency situation because of a mental health issue, and to help navigate you through the system, especially if you're in the emergency department for hours. Let's get you started with what are the next steps right away instead of waiting.
So to find the app, that they go go in your app store and look up what?
Yeah, so you should this month be able to just go to your iTunes or the App Store and put in OSCAR, so OSCER.
OSCER, okay. Yeah. And I'm sure they get information on your website, too.
Correct.
N-A-M-I, M as in Michael, I, San Diego, all spelled out, namisandiego.org, and you can find out more there. So you're I see from your mission, it's threefold. It's supporting people with mental illness. It's education, and it's advocacy. So maybe you could focus on those three components there, and how do you do that?
Sure. So advocacy is the best way to say how NAMI San Diego was really started. So it was mostly founded by actually mothers whose sons had schizophrenia, and they were constantly being told in the 70s that it was their fault, that they are the ones that caused their child's illness, and they were separated from their child, which is just a horrible thing, because if your child has a need and you're a loving, supportive family, you really want to build a family back up and how they can really support one another. And so they marched. They marched on Capitol Hill, and they really grew from this advocacy level of, we need more services for our loved ones. We need support for ourselves as family members. And so then that leads really to the support and education piece. So in the support and education, we have support groups for family members of individual who has a mental illness. We have support groups for individuals who have a mental illness themselves. We have education programs that are 12 weeks long. And you're with other family members or other individuals with a mental illness who have a very similar experience. Mm-hmm. And you can really know that you're not alone when you're going through this process and learn from one another on how maybe you can help your adult child out and how maybe certain situations you're actually hurting the situation because of raising voice, you know, how to keep calm, how to redirect, all that good stuff to really understand what is going on.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, a family situation, if there's a, you know, family member who is suffering a mental illness, not only does that person need help, but the other people in the family, how to deal with the situation and how, you know, how they're reacting. And that can be just as, you know, like the caretakers are just as stressed out. They need some help as well in group therapy, I would think.
Yes. Actually, a research just came out about caregivers and their needs specifically and the mental health needs. I mean, the brain is an important piece of our body, and we have to take care of it. And really, like Judge Coates was saying, all of us at some point are going to be dealing with periods of depression and anxiety.
Absolutely.
And it's just how do you keep the health going?
Yeah.
So question, I know prescription drugs sometimes utilized, speaking extremely generally, do you think those are being used appropriately or is there a tendency towards over-medication?
Well, I think that's a million-dollar question, really. I think that there are cases where we really do need prescription drugs, that they assist in many ways. I think that it's a great idea to combine that with some other studies that are showing, you know, health under folic acid and all the other good treatments that are naturopath and combining the two together. I think that the biggest thing when you're on a prescription drug by a psychiatrist is to make sure you're getting your regular health checkup all the time because people are dying on average 25 years younger than the general population. So just make sure that you're checking your blood pressure.
What do you think of these kids in school? I guess they're using Adderall now to study or something, right? Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah, they're using some... So, I mean, if you're
it's not good, Joe.
Don't be self-prescribing, folks, out there. Now, let's say you have a coworker or a friend or somebody who's exhibiting, you know, all of a sudden weird behavior. Could we get a hold of you? What do you recommend? Get a hold of your organization?
Yeah, so these are two numbers that I would definitely recommend always having. One is the Access and Crisis Line, because we are not a crisis service.
And what number is that?
And that is 1-888.
1-888.
724-7240.
Like 724-7240.
Yes.
1-888.
Yes.
Okay.
And so there.
And that'll take you to the county or?
Yeah, this is the county's Access and Crisis Line.
Okay.
They will make sure they are all trained therapists that will answer the phone. This is all anonymous. They even have a chat line.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not comfortable calling, go to the website and you can just chat with them via the internet.
Okay.
And then NAMI San Diego's number is 1-800-523-5933. And we also have a chat line too,
which is on the top of your website, the helpline. And we'll get that all on our website, iymoney.com, as well. So you're up to 55 people and growing, right?
Yeah,
Serving how many San Diegans, would you say?
Oh, geez, thousands. That's a good question. Our annual report, we try to always post on the website, but it's in the tens of thousands.
Isn't that something?
However, I will say that there are 750,000 individuals in San Diego County who have a mental illness, so you can fill Qualcomm Stadium 10 times. So while we've grown and are able to support a lot more people than we've been able to in the past, there's still many, many people out there.
And what percentage of the population simply isn't getting sufficient support, do you think, if you had to guess?
Oh, CNN just reported we're at a 30-year high in suicide rates.
I know. I saw that.
So I would say a good majority of folks are just not seeking out treatment. However, we have, in San Diego County at least, seen an increase in reaching out.
Yeah.
So there's been an increase in calls to the Access Crisis Line, increase in seeking out services at emergency departments. So this is good. This means stigma might be decreasing slightly because there's more help-seeking behavior.
And then in addition to the success story of Judge Coates here, can you give us some other success stories? Obviously, people are getting treatment and getting help and turning their lives back around, right?
Well, of my staff, of my 55 staff, 75% of them have a mental illness, and the rest of them are family members of somebody with a mental illness. So that's NAMI San Diego is an example of that, of recovery being possible. Most of my staff are trained to use their own personal stories and experiences experiences to assist another person who's really struggling at this moment in time, to walk them through the next phase and how recovery really is possible. It's a journey, but mm-hmm. how do you get from being currently in the county emergency department to being at a clinic somewhere and receiving services and support? So just that alone is a huge a huge story.
Maybe getting Judge Coates to speak to some, because Bob, you're going to be speaking on, about your book, right? I know you did at Rotary Club. Maybe Shannon can use you as a resource. How about that? Would you be up for that?
That'd be way cool. I'd love to team up.
Wonderful. Well, any concluding thoughts? We've got a couple of minutes to go here. As far as your work or any, we've got the app, we've got the website. What else would you like to tell us?
So a lot of people always ask me, why are people with mental illness not seeking out help? Or if they just remained on their medicines and, you know, nothing bad in the world would ever happen. And what I want to really say to that is that it's the only illness that you have where you're brought in usually to seek out treatment via the back of a police car in handcuffs. So we, and this is for a variety of reasons. This is not a blame thing, but so this happens and it really kind of breaks down those bonds of trust right mm-hmm. away. So you have a hard time wanting to really reach out and seek out for help in the future if you've had this forced treatment as your initial step to seeking out mental health treatment. So a lot of people, a lot of stuff that NAMI San Diego does and a lot of other organizations do is really try to build back those bonds of trust between the individual who needs the help and the provider who wants to provide the help, because mm-hmm. that takes time. And really keeping that family, because they are the number one support system, together as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So know that, you know, you're definitely not alone. One in four families are struggling through this, and that we're here.
Yeah, that's great. Great resource. NAMI San Diego, N-A-M-I. That's Nicholas A. Michael I. San Diego.org. San Diego all spelled out.